You say you searching for happiness, well, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go.
The show,
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 this the way to go.
The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
Tell someone what the topic is. Ready, go. Now, I have learned when you consider my notes that young people go through various stages before adulthood. Various stages. Mentally, sexually, emotionally, financially, just a whole bunch of different stages before you enter into adulthood. Now, let me say this. Young people, you eventually want to become an adult. You do not want to remain a child your entire life. You want to mature, because there are some grown folk that are 40, 50, 60, and older. They are grown in age, but they are still childish. You want to be a child while you're a child, while you're young. But you want to get to a point to where you learn how to put away childish things and become an adult. One stage of life that young people go through, and many of you are at, is the stage that I call the dependent stage. You're dependent on a whole lot of things you're not able to do for yourself completely. Yeah, you can probably go in there, brush your teeth yourself, bathe, fix your own food. But if the truth be told, you are still dependent on someone, whether that be a parent, an aunt, grandmother, a sibling, or what have you. You're dependent on someone for food, money, health care, and so forth. How many either are in or remember the dependent stage of life? By a show of hands. Yeah, that's just a part of life. But then there is a more advanced stage of life, and that's the stage I call the developer stage. You go from being a dependent to now you are a developer. You graduate from high school, you know, for the next few years of your life. Yeah, you're 18, 19, maybe 20 or so. You still dependent on your folk. But eventually you want to get into a stage that pastor is calling the developer stage. The developer stage is what I define as the stage of life to where you're able and you start to create your own livelihood. You're starting to create your own source or sources of income. You buy your own grocery. You pay your own bills. You are creating or developing your life. Well, I knew I grew up in this neighborhood, but I prefer to live somewhere else. You're creating your own home. Well, mama told me I had to wear my hair like this, but I'm about grown now. I want to wear my hair like this. You're developing your own style. Well, mama wouldn't let me go here. She had rules at her house, but I'm grown now. I'm on the college campus. I can do and go where I want to. So now you're developing your own lifestyle. You're making your own choices. How many understanding that? And some of you, though you're still young in your mid-20s, you're not only developing your own life, you're also responsible for the lives of others. Some of you are married or have children, and so you're not only concerned about your welfare, you got to develop your family now. You got to develop your child and be a strength and a help to your spouse. Is this good teaching? Now, this is one thing that Jesus addressed in Matthew 7 and 24 when he talked about building a house or a home, developing. And as a parent, I'm telling you, it's amazing to have to let go of your children and you start to see them developing their own life. And let me tell you something, parents, when your children begin to enter the development stage, you got to let them go. You got to let them go. You can't run their life. They've been taught. You got to let them make choices. And they're going to be choices that they make that you like. And they're going to be some choices that they make that you don't like. But we have to remember how God helped us to develop. We made some bad choices, but we learned. And God got us in the place we needed to be. And so understand something. Even though we train our children up, we have to remember what the Lord promised us. If we trained them up in the way they should go, when they get old or start developing, they're going to come back to what they were trained or taught to do. That's some good news right there. That's some good news. The developing stage. Look at my notes. Y'all still with me? When you are building your life as a young person, a young adult, you got to first learn to be independent. That's when you're learning to be independent. It's a process. You're learning. You got to find God's purpose for your life. You got to find your path that God has for you when you're entering the development stage. And finally, listen to me. When you're in the developer stage, young people, as a young adult, your reliance and guidance on God should increase. Sadly, many young folk, when they start heading toward adulthood, they do not trust the Lord wholeheartedly anymore. Or their relationship with God declines in such a way to where they're not experiencing life and life more abundantly. But when you're becoming independent from your parents and your family, that's when you should be getting closer to God even the more. That's that stage where you should be praying more. You should be trusting God more. You should be living by faith more. Why? Because now you're leaving the wing of your parents, your loved one, and you're heading out into the world. And listen, I've learned the best place and the safest place to be in the world is with the Lord. We should be in the world, but not of the world. Are y'all still with me this morning? Now, as you grow from being a graduate, headed into your early 20s, mid-20s, and so forth, understand, you're going to have to choose what kind of life you want to live. What kind of lifestyle you want to have or the type of home you're going to have. See, in a few months, you're going to be going off to school. You're going to have a whole bunch of free time. You may have your own apartment, your own dormitory. Some of you may be going off to camp out of town this summer, whether sports camp. You got to determine what type of life am I going to live? Whether it be in the military, Spelman, I heard, Kennesaw State, West Georgia, what kind of life am I going to live? Am I going to live a life like the wicked? Or am I going to choose to live like the just? Bottom line, there's no in between. Either you with the Lord or you're against him. That's what Jesus said. Either you with me or you're against me. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Ain't no I'm trying. No, either you in there or you ain't. Get in where you fit in. So what kind of life, what kind of home are you going to have? Now, a person that's wicked is a sinner. Someone who practices sin. I'm not going to go there, but Proverbs 4 and 14 talks about how the wicked go in the way of evil. That's what wicked folk do, practice evil, practice sin. And let me tell you something. Sin is pleasurable. You're going to enjoy it. But if you die in sin, it don't matter if you came up in church. You know better. The wages of sin is death. You're going to lift your eyes in hell. That's the way of the wicked. That's the way of the wicked. But you have an alternative. You can take a stand. You don't have to follow the crowd. You don't have to go the broad way. You don't have to do what everybody else is doing. And just because they're calling it fun, you don't have to be bored. People will say, look, being saved is boring. No, it ain't. This is life. Jesus came that I might have life. He didn't come that I might be bored. He came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. He said one of the fruits of the Spirit, it's not boredom, it's joy. He said the joy of the Lord shall be your strength. You can have fun and be just. You can have fun and be saved. You can enjoy life without smoking, without hoeing, without clubbing, without gambling, without rolling dice, without getting drunk. You can enjoy life here on earth in this society as a child of God. Yes, you can. Now, it's going to be a challenge in and of your flesh. But Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you have to deny yourself. I'm telling you, some of you that think you ready and you grown, you're going to go off and it's going to be party every night. It's going to be party every day a party. You're going to bump into some folk that like to drink every day. They ain't going to wait for no weekend. They ain't going to be turning up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday through the weekend. And you're going to have to make up your mind. Am I going to be an alcoholic like them, or am I going to be sober the way the Lord wants me to be? You got to make up your mind. Either you're going to be wicked or just. And Solomon says, listen, the life or the home of the wicked is cursed. Got a degree, but cursed. Got an apartment, but cursed. Graduate with honors, but curse. Fine, look good. I mean, smell good. Soft to the touch, but cursed. When a person is cursed, it's when ruin or death is assigned to them. No matter what they do, death and ruin is assigned to them. And you see it in the book of Mark. I wrote it up here, Mark 11. 20 and 21, Jesus was hungry one day, and he saw a fig tree that had leaves on it, which was an indication it's got to be some sweet figs on that tree. He got up to the tree and was deceived. There was leaves on it, but no figs. And so Jesus cursed the tree, young folk. He spoke death and ruin on the tree and said, from this day forward, no one shall eat from you ever again. And how many know what Jesus say? It's going to come to pass. A day or two passed, and they came back by the tree. And Simon, with his mouth, he said, Lord, look at the tree that you cursed. It is withered up from the root. The Lord spoke a word of death and ruin on that tree, and it happened. And so you understand something, young folk, no matter how much you succeed or gain the whole world, if it's without Jesus, you're cursed, according to the verses that I've read and explained. I don't want no curse. Oh, Lord. I said, I don't want the curse of the Lord on my home or on my life. What about you? But the Lord wants us to be blessed. Don't want you to wait till you get in your 40s and 50s. Want you to be blessed right now. The Lord said through John, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul does prosper. God wants his folk to prosper. He said, the blessing of the Lord, Solomon said, makes one rich and add no sorrow. I thought y'all would be more excited about that. God wants us to be productive in every aspect of our lives. And he promised that would happen to the home of the life of the just. Folk that live by faith. Folk that live by the word. See, it don't matter if you come out of a single household or what. If you just, God gonna bless you. It don't matter if your mama were broke, your grandmama were broke, and big mama were broke. When you just, God gonna make sure you are blessed. He blesses the home of the just. Don't matter if you came up in the projects, you ain't gonna stay there. Why? You are blessed. He wants you to be the head, not the tail. Live above only and never beneath. That's why I love the lifestyle of the just. I know no matter what I go through, it's going to work out together for my good. I have some tough days, but he makes sure I come on through it. Why? I'm blessed. You know how folks say, I'm blessed and highly favored. How many know you blessed up in here? David later revealed he blesses the righteous. And you got to get it down in your mindset. No matter what's going on around you, if you are just, God is blessing you. He's going to make sure you're happy, prosperous, and he's going to help you to live holy. Woo! Look at somebody and ask, say, are you going to be wicked? Y'all scared to say that. Some of y'all don't even talk. Say, are you going to be wicked or just? What's your answer? I'm going to give y'all a few truths to keep in mind when you're striving to be just. Then I'm going to deal with our text, the meat of the text. But I want you to keep these things in mind. As you're preparing to enter into adulthood, away from college, away from home, and you're at college or in the military or what have you, a junior, your upcoming senior, and your parents putting the pressure on you, what you going to do with your life? You're trying to figure it out. I want you to keep these things in mind. Keep these things in mind. Number one, if you're taking notes, when you're building your life or developing your life, you got to have a mind to work. You have to have a mind to work. It's not going to be easy, young folk. Folk just ain't going to give it to you. Folk just ain't going to hand it to you just because you're cute. You got pretty eyes. They ain't going to do that. You have to have a mind to work. And you are not the gift to everybody. If you don't want to work, they'll find somebody. They want to find somebody who got a mind to hustle, a mind to grind, a mind to want to be the best. That's got to be your mindset when you are leaving your safe environment of home and you go out into this world. Let me tell you something real quick. Folk don't care. Most folk do not care. They do not care. Be on the side of the road, broke down, 1,000 folk gonna pass you. Folk don't care. We saw it in scripture. There was a man beat down, got robbed, laying on the side of the road. Nobody stopped. The Lord had to send one person to help him. That's how this world is. You have to have a mind that no matter what life throws at you or what God allows, you have a mind to work. Have a job, get sick. They'll work with you for a few days. But if you stay sick, we got to move on. We got to find somebody else. This world is a trip. have a baby. You know, in other countries, when you have a baby, they give the mother a year off paid. In some countries, when the woman has a baby, they give her a 12-month maternity leave. Over here, you better hurry up and get on back on that job. We need you back in 10 days. Come on back on to work. You got to have a mind to work. Let me look at it. I'm losing some of y'all. Nehemiah 4 and 6. Y'all stay with me. I got it right here. Nehemiah 4 and 6. So we built the wall. Look at these folk building. And the entire wall was joined together up to half its height. Why? For the people, help me, had a mind to work. You can't lose focus when you go to school and it's party, party, club, club. You got to have a mind to hit them books. If you're a student athlete, you got to have a mind to work. Because it's not easy. It is not easy. If you're not going to go to school and you just going to go and get you a job and you're going to work, look, you got to have a mind to work. You can't be like, well, I'm just going to take a year off and I'm going to stay at home and figure it out and play video games. No. You need to have a mind to work. Got to have a mind to work. And sometimes young folks starting off, you may have to work in positions that you really don't want to. But you got to have a mindset, this temporary. Man, I really don't want to do no factory job. But until God show me what I need to do with my life, if these folk going to pay me $15 an hour for 11 hours a day, well, you know what? I may have to do that instead of just sitting at home watching Netflix all day. You got to have a mind to work. Well, you know, I'm working on my YouTube channel. Look, that's going to take some time. You work that YouTube channel on your spare time, and you get you a job that's going to bring you in some money right now. And do the YouTube on the side. Because if you got it, it's going to pop, but it's going to take some time. Got to have a mind to work. Faith without works is dead. Paul said like this, if you are not able to provide for your own self and your household, he said, you're worse than a sinner, worse than an infidel. Man don't work, man don't eat, man don't eat. So keep that in mind. Number two, it is wise to build your life or your home on the rock. Build your life or your home on the rock. Say that with me. Say, build your life or your home. Finish it. On the rock. The rock has to do with God's word. Build your life on God's word. Build your life on God's word. God's word will not pass. It will not fail. Heaven and earth shall pass, but not God's word. Build your life as a young woman, as a young man, on God's word. It's things I will do, things I won't do, because that's what the word said. I bring God his tithe and offering, because that's what the word said. I go to church on Sundays. My neighbors may not, my roommate may not, but I do. Because I need to live by the word. I build my life on the rock. And the third thing to keep in mind, when you're building your life according to God's plan or his word, understand something, you're going to have enemies. Whenever you start trying to build your life around this right here, you are going to have enemies. Enemies, adversaries. Opposition, problems, and so forth. But don't let your enemies defeat you. You have the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Nehemiah talked about in Nehemiah 4, 1 and 8, that when they started building the wall, all of a sudden folk were hearing what they were doing, and they came to try to stop them. I can't tell you how many times I've seen young ladies graduate from high school, then go to school or the military and ain't even been in there 6 months and then talking about they falling in love and they gonna go and do some dumb stuff and ain't even started or completed the path that God has put them on. I've seen young men have so much potential but be on that dumb stuff 2 years out of school and they in and out of jail on that dumb stuff. You got to keep the focus and don't let folk bring you down. Keep these three things in mind. Are y'all listening to me this morning? Yeah. Now, specifically when you consider our text, Jesus wanted his disciples to be wise. Look, you got to make a choice. Build your house or your life on God's word. And that's what I pray that many of you do and many of you continue to do. I want to help our graduates and our young adults and our young couples this morning, specifically in the remainder of our message. The rest of this message is going to help our younger ones to get an understanding of what they need to do in the next stages of their life. All right? How to build a blessed home. When you go off to school and you get a dorm room, either you or your roommate gonna have more influence. One of the two. It's either gonna be you or your roommate gonna have the influence in that dormitory. And you need to let them know, look, I want this to be a productive place. I want this to be a blessed place. Now, we gotta live here together. But look, if you're going to do some stuff I don't do, do it over there. You just got to be blunt like that. Because if you don't, they're going to do it all up in your face and on your bed. I said they'll do it in your face and on your bed. And they're going to invite their friends over and they're going to do it in your face and on your bed. You got to let them know. Even before I got saved, I had to let my roommate know, look, I don't do that. If you're going to do that, at least get a bed sheet and just put it in the middle of the room. That happened to me. I had this roommate, this guy, and I said, look, man, it's just certain stuff I don't do. I don't drink. I don't smoke. But he did. And so he would let his friends know when they came to the room, look, we ain't going to do that while he in here. Or if he knew I was going home for the weekend, they would do it when I wasn't there. But he at least respected my desire. You got to let folk know up front. And sometimes he would have his little girlfriend come over and she would stay there. He would put a bed sheet up in the middle of the room. And I'd be over there trying to sleep and I'd just be hearing, I'd be like, oh God. I knew what they were doing. But you in the room, and the sheet just, but see, y'all might as well get ready. Y'all want to look at me like Pastor Baker. No, this life. Because when most folk leave the house, they ready to turn up and get it in. And see, you ain't used to that. You ain't exposed to that. And you gonna get out here and you mess around and get a roommate and they freakish or they an alcoholic and they into some stuff that you ain't used to. And if you don't know how to carry yourself, you're going to find yourself doing the same thing. But see, you saved and you got some Holy Ghost power. You got to let folk know, look, if you're going to do what you do it over there. This side of the room, we don't play that. And I'm telling you, some folk will respect you. Because the Bible says, what fellowship does light have with dark? I done ran folk out of my room. They didn't want to be my roommate. I'm saying they didn't want to be my roommate. I was like, bye. I got this room all to myself. Bye. Take you in them demons. Bye. But see, you got to have that mindset. You got to have this mindset. You're going to get out here and you're going to see some stuff. I had a young lady that left here at the church, went to the military, ain't never been away from home. And she told me, she said, Pastor Baker, all they do is drink. All they do all day, all night, just drink, 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 drink. And just had to tell me, sometimes I ain't had nothing to do, and I ended up doing it too. And I would have to counsel and help them and give them some wisdom on how to carry themselves. But you got to be prepared. You got to be prepared, because if not, those spirits will come and try to set up shop in your life and in your home, whether it be an apartment, dormitory, or house. They coming. So let me give you some keys to help me, my young adults. And some of these keys going to help my young adults and my young couples. Y'all ready? All right. Number one, this is so important. Remember your teaching. Bottom line, remember what you've been taught. Remember. Don't just remember it, but put it into action. The Hebrew writer talked about not letting what you hear slip. You got to hold on to it. You can't neglect, the Bible says, so great of salvation. You got to remember your teaching. Help me say this. Say, remember your teaching. All right. Look at Ecclesiastes. Y'all just stay right here. Focus with me. I want to keep y'all attention right here. Ecclesiastes 12 and 1. And look at what the preacher said. Remember now your creator in the days, thank you, of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Now listen, remember now your creator. Your creator, God. In the beginning was God. Or in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, and the Word was with God. So remember now the Word. Remember. Remember the Word. Remember what your pastor taught you since you was a child. Remember what your bishop taught you since you was a child. Remember what you was taught in VBS. Remember when you used to have Sunday school, what you were taught. Remember what you learned on YLT seminars and retreat. Remember your teaching. Because this world is going to try to teach you something else. Going to try to do just like King Nebuchadnezzar. Going to try to teach you how you need to be as a young woman. Remember, God wants you holy and chaste. But the world going to teach you, look, it's okay for you to kiss on another girl. As a young woman, it's okay for you to be fluid. Look, you love boys this time, you love girls that time, you're just in and out. No, remember your teaching. Remember your teaching. Remember to bring God his money. Remember to stay in church and be dedicated. Remember to pray. Remember. Why? Because the days of your life are going to become difficult, more challenging. It's simple while you're at home. All you do is come home, and most of the time, 85% of the time, your parents fight your battles. But now, you got to fight your own battles. You got to fight your own battles. You spent 18 years your parents telling you, don't hang around him. Don't hang around her. Don't go there. Don't do that. Stop. Slow down. Now, you're on your own. You can drive as fast as you want to now, but you're going to have to pay for it. You can go where you want to go now. You can lay with who you want to lay with. But remember, you reap what you sow. You stick it in, a baby can come out. And the day is going to get difficult. Oh, you're doing it with no rubber on? You can come up with something. Your days can get difficult. So you have to remember your teacher. Remember your teacher. Now, I need y'all just look at somebody and say, that's some good teaching right there. That's some good teaching right there. I don't care what y'all say. You can't get that on YouTube unless we put it there. That's some good teaching. That's some good teaching. Number two, if you're going to have a blessed home, establish a faithful routine. Establish a faithful routine. See, right now, as a teenager, you've been living with your parents or your kinfolk, and you got a routine. Get up, go to school, go to practice, go to revival, get up, go to school, go to practice, go to work, get up, go to school, go to practice, go to work. On the weekend, get up, go to practice. Sunday, get up, go to church. You got a routine. But when you're on your own, you got to establish a faithful routine. Yeah, you got to go to class. Yeah, you got to go to work. Yeah, you got to have your me time. But see, you need to make sure that God is number one. You got to make sure you're praying every day so you don't faint. Get out here and stop praying and watch what you start doing. If you're not led by the Spirit, you're going to be led by the flesh. Get out here and stop coming to church and watch what happens. Watch what happens. If the Lord said you need the word to live and you ain't getting no word, you're going to start dying. So you have to establish a faithful routine. Why faithful? Look at the Bible. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man or woman will abound with blessing. God going to make sure you're blessed when you got a faithful routine. He know you're going to miss the mark sometime. He know you're going to come up short sometime. But when you're faithful, the righteous don't stay down. They repent, get up, and keep moving forward. Young couples in here, you've been married under 2 years, 5 years. You got to have a faithful routine. You and your spouse, as a young couple, you got to make sure y'all still having date nights. You got to make sure that y'all don't get lost in the sauce and get so busy with making money and doing other things that you forget about one another. You got to say, look, we got to have date nights. Shoot, we ain't got no kids. We need to have 3 date nights. We ain't got no kids. We got to have 3 date nights a month. You have to establish a faithful routine in your marriage as a young couple that, look, ain't going to be no sleeping on the sofa. When we get mad and have a fight or argue, we're going to work it out. And we ain't going to sleep mad. We ain't going to let the sun go down on our wrath. Our routine is we're going to get this out so we can keep having a happy home. Because I'm going to tell you, you can be to the point to where you get mad at your spouse and that trash lasts a week. And you be like, you better not even try to touch me. You just, that dumb stuff. So you got to have a faithful routine. Look, we're going to settle this. We're going to learn from it, and we're going to move on. That's a faithful routine. Woo, there's some good teaching right here. Woo, there's some good teaching. You can't get this on HBO. This good teaching. A faithful routine. Faithful routine with your money. Don't get money, spend money. That's a bad routine. You need to have a faithful routine. You need to be to the point to where you get money, give God his, take care of your house, and your bills. Have a faithful routine. Have a faithful, just do the same thing. Listen, young folks. See, if you're faithful over a few things, God will make you ruler over much. Over much. I had this young man, he's almost 30 now, but he came up here. I talked to him last month. And he blessed me so good with our conversation, hadn't spoke to him. But he was raised here in the church. He's married now. And he said, Pastor, I just want to say thank you again for everything. I said, what you talking about? He said, man, I be on my job and I stay on the road all the time. He said, I'm the youngest out of these grown men. And they be coming to me asking me questions about life, about money, about this, that, and the other. I said, well, what is it? He said, man, I know it wasn't nothing but the word. He said, I know I got to tighten up in some areas. I know I'm not perfect. I got to do better in some things. He said, but man, if it wasn't for the teaching, I wouldn't be as far as I am as a young man. I'm telling you, this word right here is what's going to make the difference between you and your peers that are not saved. So you got to have a faithful routine. Are y'all with me? Dang. As a young man, he had a custom of praying 3 times a day. That was his faithful routine. We need to learn from that, young folk. You need to have you a routine. Every week I'm going to be in church. I'm going to make sure I pray every day and so forth. Y'all feel me? All right. Y'all mighty slow. All right. Let's go to Joshua. No, I'm serious. Y'all slow to talk back this morning. Y'all slow to talk back. Is it good to you? All right. Maybe that's what it is. One of the meals you eating, you can't even talk. You'd be like, look, ain't no time to talk. This is some good eating. Third way to build a blessed home. What's the first way? Who remember the first way? Remember your teacher. Second one, a faithful routine. Third one, this one right here going to be a little touchy. You got to have or set and apply rules. Have and set some rules. Most young folk, the first thing they start screaming when they graduate, leave the house. I ain't got no rules. I can do what I want to do. But see, you got to have boundaries. God is a God of order. The Lord does all things decently and in order. God got rules. You need to have rules. I'm going to save 20% of all my income, Lord. I'm going to make sure you get yours, but I'm going to make sure I at least save 20%. That's a rule. So you out here young, but you ain't broke. You get paid $1,000. You going to try to make sure, Lord, I'm going to put back 200 if I can from every 1,000. Or at least 20% once a month. Or you work your way up to that. You got to have some rules about your money. You don't want to be getting these checks and you just ball until you fall and all you got is some nice clothes and some rims. You don't want that. You got to have some rules. You got to have some rules when it comes to relationships. I'm not going out with nobody who don't this right here. I'm not going out with nobody who do this right here. You got to have some rules, some laws in your life. Look at Joshua. Joshua 24:15. Y'all read it loud with me. Ready? Ready? But as for me and my house, we will. He had a rule. Had a house rule, didn't he? That's it. You need to have a rule. When it comes to your apartment, your dormitory, your house, or whatever, y'all can come over to the barbecue, but ain't no smoking in my house. My wife got relatives that smoke cigarettes, and they know whenever they come to our house, no, ain't no smoking in my house. Now, if they want to, they having an attack and they got to have some nicotine, they go outside, but ain't going to be no smoking in the house. That's a house. That's a rule. Woo! You got to have rules, young folk. You got to have rules. If not, you're going to do anything. You're going to do anything. You got to have some rules, some ethics, some standards. You got to have some standards, young folk. Because if you don't, you're going to be just like the world. And you're going to end up backsliding. You got to have some rules as a young adult. Teenager or a young married couple. have some rules. You and your spouse, y'all done got married, we got to have some social media rules. If an old flame reach out to you in your DM, you need to let me know. That's a rule. You can talk to who you want to on social media, but if one of your old girlfriends or boyfriends reaches out, you better let me know, because I don't want to get caught blindsided. I need to be knowing what's going on. How many know what I'm talking about? You got to have some rules. You got to have some rules. Fourth and final rule. What's the first trait we talked about?
Remember your teaching.
Second, establish a faithful routine. If you want a blessed home, what's the third thing? Set and apply rules. And finally, fill your rooms properly. Fill your rooms properly. When you get out here, young folk, you start making your own money, going to possess the land, whether it be house, car, or a different type of assets, you want to make sure that you fill your rooms properly. You get things of value. You don't want to be the type of young person that has the testimony, you fake it till you make it. Ain't no fake it till you make it. The Lord, when he blesses us, he makes us rich and adds no sorrow. So you fill your rooms. You need to be having the mindset, okay, I need to have the mindset of ownership instead of renting. When I step out on my own, I need to have the mindset, I need to own me some land. Own me a house instead of making somebody else wealthy. Because it is not sensible to be paying $900 to rent a 2-bedroom apartment when you can pay $1,100 and get a whole 4-bedroom house with 2 or 3 garages sitting on a quarter or more acre. Might as well spend an extra $200 and I own it. You got to have that mindset. If I'm going to buy jewelry, I'm going to get the real deal. It's going to be something that's valuable that one day I can pass on to my son, my daughter, or my granddaughter, or my daughter-in-law. You got to have that mindset. If you're going to go buy some shoes that when you sell them, you can make some money. Everybody can get them $50 shoes, but there's some shoes out there that you can get and you can wear them lightly and then turn around and get the same money back that you spent on it. Fill your rooms. If you're going to buy a car, buy something that at least going to hold some value. So when it's time to sell it, that ain't nothing but money in the pocket. You got to have that mindset, young folk. You don't want to be out here like most young folk doing it for the gram. I'm out here doing this, taking pictures so other people can be like, "Ooh, that's nice. I like that. That's dumb. That's childish." I'm doing stuff that's building wealth. I'm doing stuff that's going to help me, my family, and so I can be in a position to bless other folk. That's how you want to think. If I'm going to go get a vehicle and I'm going to spend $400 a month on it, can this vehicle make me some money? Is this vehicle going to get me safely to and from work where I can make my $2,500? Then I'll invest in that vehicle right there. Or if I'm going to go buy this vehicle, can I cut some grass with this vehicle? Can I pull a lawnmower with this vehicle? Can I do something that's going to help me make some money? Do I really need a $1,500 cell phone? Now, they're going to try to sell me this $1,200, $1,500 cell phone and then charge me $30, $45 a month till I pay it off. Well, can't, Lord, I just keep this cell phone I got and take them same $30, $40 every month and either go buy me some stock or just put it in the bank and stack it up. Now I own my phone and I got me an extra $1,500. Now I can take the $1,500 and I can go flip that to the three. Then I flip it to the three and take the three and flip it to the six. That's the type of mindset you have to have. I'm filling my rooms. Well, Lord, I'm good at doing my sister hair. Is there somebody else hair that I can do and charge them $10? Maybe doing hair for $10, then I can go buy that purse I want. And I don't have to go work at McDonald's. I can do 10 heads and I can go get the purse. Or I can do 50 heads and I can go get that expensive purse. You see what I'm saying? You got to fill the rooms properly. Proverbs 24:4. Y'all see how I said four? From the country. Look at somebody say four. Last verse. Look what Solomon said. This is how you fill your rooms or your life, young folk. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with what, Solomon? Precious and pleasant riches. So it comes down to what I know. I need to know things spiritually or according to the word, and there's some natural things I need to know. I need to know how to handle money. I need to know how to get a banking account. I need to know how to make money on my own and not be dependent on my job. When I have knowledge and I apply it, that helps me to gain wealth, according to the verse. It's what I know. And sometimes it's who you know. Knowledge causes your life to be productive. Knowledge, specifically the knowledge of God. If you take what I'm teaching y'all right now and you start applying it to your life, I'm telling you, you're going to be the head and not the tail. Live above only and never beneath. But you can't be on that dumb stuff and be like, that's just for church. No, this word is for life. Fill your rooms and just take your time. Just take your time. Lord, this year, my goal is to get me a car. That's the goal this year. My goal is to get a car. Lord, I don't know how to get a car. Well, I got to get some knowledge. Lord, who do I need to go talk to? Who do I need to go talk to that can help me get my heart's desire? Where do I need to go? Because I need a car. And I done been taught, Lord, I don't need to get no car that ain't valuable, and I don't need to sign no paperwork that's going to keep me in debt. 30% interest. No, that ain't what I'm doing. Y'all do somebody else. I ain't the one. Y'all hear what I'm saying? By knowledge, you feel your own. Lord, how am I going to get this scholarship? That's the goal. What do I need to do to get this scholarship? You fill your rooms, young folk. You don't have to fake it till you make it. Just obey God. And God will start prospering your life.
Yeah. You say you're searching for happiness. This the way to go. You say you want peace. This the way to go. If you're trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live. This the way to go. The show. 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 This the way to go. The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go. Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.